Hello, beloved. It's wonderful to be with you, and specifically in our study on Jude. It is study 32 of Jude, and wow, amazing things that we are learning from this very short letter. Before we continue, though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the letter of Jude, that we can read and understand so much about false teachers so that we can be warned. And at the end of the day, Father, expose them for who they are. We pray that you please open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word and understand your word. And Father, I pray that you enable me as your servant to teach your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Before we get to verse 12, though, I just want to just give a quick summary. Remember that Jude is giving us different characteristics of false teachers in verse 4. He gave us four characteristics. He says that they get into the church unnoticed, in stealth mode. They are ungodly. They turn the grace of God into the means to commit sexual immorality or any other kind of sin. They also deny different things about Jesus Christ, which is clearly revealed in God's word. When we go to verse 8, we see that they are dreamers. The King James Bible tells us that they are filthy dreamers. That's how it translates it. They defile the flesh, they reject authority, they speak evil of dignitaries. And then in verse 11, we saw that these false teachers try to create their own way of getting right with God. They want to establish their own righteousness, just like Cain brought an offering the way that he saw fit. Now you remember that, we looked at that. But they're also lovers of money, they're money chasers, and they will do anything to get money. And then they refuse to submit to God, given leadership, and they try to kind of impose their own will upon the people. Right, when we get to verse 12, we already looked at another characteristic where Jude tells us that they are spots in the love feasts of believers. So they are like dangerous rocks or reefs just underneath the water. And if a ship hits it, it will be destroyed. They are very dangerous in the love feasts of believers because they are there to destroy. They're not there to edify or to support. They are there to destroy. But then Jude also says, and this is what we looked at last week, is that they are clouds without water. So they promise a lot of spiritual things, but it's all empty promises because they've got nothing to offer. Because they are like clouds, or they are clouds, but there's no water in the clouds. Right. And what they do is, they are tossed about by every wind, they're carried about by every wind, because every kind of doctrine that comes along, any false doctrine, they are the first ones to jump on that new false doctrine. They don't hold on to the orthodox faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. It's not the old time religion, you know, that kind of thing. No, no, things must become new. God is doing a new thing. There's always new things. And it's amazing how these false teachers can come up with the biggest load of rubbish. All right, then we get to verse 12. Verse 12 says the following. Let's just read it again. I mean, we are in verse 12, but the last part we're going to handle for today. Verse 12 says, "These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves." Can you see how self-centered these people are? It's all about themselves. So watch out, you will always see most false teachers, it's all about them. It's about their power, it's about their welfare, it's about their prestige, it's about what they can get out of things. Watch out for that. They're not there for the people, they're there for themselves. So they only serve themselves. Then Jude continues to say, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. And then he says the following, they are late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. This is very interesting. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. This is very interesting to see. So they late autumn trees without fruit. Now, if we know anything about nature, is when we look at trees, fruit trees in autumn time, then they will not bear fruit any longer. Especially those who have, they have fruit in summertime, then by late autumn, there's no more fruit. In fact, they normally lose their leaves. Now, we're talking about the northern hemisphere now. We're talking about Israel now. All right. So they lose their leaves, and they go into a kind of a hibernation mode for the winter. And when you look at the trees in wintertime, the fruit trees, you can't expect fruit on the tree, because it's not going to be there. The trees are in hibernation. They're getting ready so that they can come out again in springtime and have fruit in summertime. So, in autumn, trees do not bear fruit any longer. They lose their leaves. They go into this hibernation mode for winter. And after the winter, the trees will once again bear fruit. And especially if they're alive and well. Nah, they need to be alive and well for them to bear fruit again in summertime. Now, Jude comes along and he describes these false teachers as late autumn trees without fruit. So, it is obvious that fruit trees will not bear fruit in late autumn. And this is actually how obvious it is that these false teachers will not bear fruit, because they are described as late autumn trees without fruit. So, to Jude, it is obvious. That's the way he writes it, obviously under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But they, these false teachers, will not have any fruit because they are late autumn trees. Don't expect to see any fruit on these people. Right? Because they are false teachers. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. They're not alive for Christ. Right? So they will not bear any fruit. They are like these late autumn trees that's going into hibernation. But Jude later describes them that they are twice dead, and we'll get there just now. But Jesus himself spoke in Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 to 20. And this is what Jesus says. He says, "Even so," listen to this, "every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." So this is the idea of, you will see a tree, and if the tree is good, there will be good fruit. If you see a tree and the tree is bad, there will be bad fruit. A good tree will not bear bad fruits, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruits. This is what Jesus says in verse 18. "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Speaking about the false prophets. Now, every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It is uprooted when a tree does not bear fruit. Okay, so this kind of refers to what happens to this double dead thing, or twice dead, that Jude is speaking about. Alright, so basically what happens is, how do I know that somebody is a true teacher of the word, and how do I know somebody is a false teacher of the word? It's very interesting, very easy. You look at the fruit. If somebody does not bear fruit, it is obvious that such a person has not been saved, does not have the Holy Spirit indwelling that person. It's obvious, because it's by their fruit that you will know them, Jesus says. Right. Now, what is important here is the fruit that is being referred to here, I believe, is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the first thing. Because if the Holy Spirit indwells us, His fruit will be visible in us. All right, and it will shine through us. So that's the fruit of the Spirit in the first place. But it also comes from, how can I say, it refers to fruit in the sense of obedience to Christ, obedience to God's commands, to live a kind of life that is pleasing to God. You know, the works of a believer, where James said, "I will know them, their faith, by their works." Nah, the kind of works that they do. I believe the works that we do is the fruit of our lives. So, and obviously then the fruit of the Spirit, and we find that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Let me just read it to you. I think it's important, because we can identify these false teachers specifically by the fruit of the Spirit. Why? You see, people can still do a lot of things. They can do good, and they can help the orphans, and they can do all kinds of different things. They can do good works, but you cannot duplicate the fruit of the Spirit. It's not possible, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that works it in us. So we need to check false teachers, or we need to check all teachers, to see whether the fruit that they bear is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, Paul says in Galatians, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, this is the fruit that every born-again believer will manifest in their lives. It will be visible in their lives. Now, John MacArthur, in his commentary on Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, where the fruit of the Spirit is described, he describes love as, this word love, is one of several Greek words for love. It's the word agape. And it is the love of choice, referring to not to an emotional affection, physical attraction, or a familiar bond, but this word refers to respect, devotion, affection that leads to willing sacrificial service. That's the kind of love that the Holy Spirit works in us. Now, this will not be seen in a false teacher. You will not see respect. You will not see devotion. You will not see an affection that leads to this willing self-sacrificial service. There's always strings attached by these false teachers. All right, but the love that comes from the Holy Spirit, by the way, you can go and check it up on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It gives us a beautiful description of what this sacrificial service looks like, what this love that Paul speaks about here as a fruit of the Spirit, what it looks like. All right, the false teachers do not have this kind of love. They can't, because it's something that's produced by the Holy Spirit. All right, the second one that he talks about is joy. John MacArthur describes it as a happiness based on unchanging divine promises and eternal spiritual realities. So this is a joy, a happiness, an excitement, happiness. It's based not on my feelings or my experiences. It's based on unchanging divine promises from God and spiritual realities, eternal spiritual realities. That's what it's based on. So my joy is based on the reality of who Christ is and what He has done for us and what He is going to do for us in the future, not on how I feel. John MacArthur continues to say, it is the sense of well-being experienced by one who knows all is well between himself and the Lord. You see, this kind of joy can only be received by a believer, somebody who is truly saved. Now he says, joy is not the result of favorable circumstances, and even occurs when those circumstances are the most painful and severe. Joy, John MacArthur says, is a gift from God, and as such, believers are not to manufacture it, but to delight in the blessings that they already possess. You see, you cannot manufacture this kind of joy. This is a joy that comes from within. It is a joy that the Holy Spirit works within us. The false teachers do not have this kind of joy. But then there's also peace. Now, peace refers to the inner calm that results from confidence in one's saving relationship with Christ. So peace is this inner calm because I am saved. Because I am in a relationship with Christ, that God is sovereign over my life. It is an inner calm that comes from my confidence in the saving relationship I have with Christ. John MacArthur continues and says that the verb form denotes binding together and is reflected in the expression having it all together. All right, so the peace that we have is no matter what the circumstances might be, what I have is a peace, an inner calm. Now that seems as if I have it all together, even though everything around me it could be falling apart. That's the kind of peace. And that is worked by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that produces it in us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You can have it in a small measure, or you can have a lot of it, but you will have some of it for sure. And it will grow and become stronger and stronger in us as the Holy Spirit works His life and lives His life through us. All right, so false teachers, do they have inner peace that results from their saving relationship with Christ? No, they cannot have this kind of peace because they're not saved. Another fruit is long-suffering. I normally say long-suffering. This word is just basically patience now, and it refers to the ability of believers to endure injuries that is inflicted by others and the willingness to accept irritating or painful situations with patience, to really be patient, to suffer long if it needs to. Let me tell you, we don't want to do that. It is the Holy Spirit that works it in us, that works patience in us. False teachers don't have it, because the Holy Spirit is not working it in them. And then there's kindness. John MacArthur says, kindness is tender concern for others, a real tender concern for others, reflected in a desire to treat others gently, just as the Lord treats all believers. This is something that you do not really see. Well, not really. You don't see it with false teachers, because false teachers are hard. They are self-centered, remember, Jude tells us. Then another fruit is goodness. And goodness refers to moral and spiritual excellence, John MacArthur says, manifested in active kindness. And believers are commanded to exemplify goodness. They need to show forth goodness. Right, that's this moral excellence that they have, spiritual excellence. And you can see that they have moral and spiritual excellence because it is visible in the way and in how they are kind to others, how they exemplify or how they show goodness to others. And then the last fruit that the Holy Spirit works in us, that's a fruit of the Spirit, is faithfulness. John MacArthur describes it as loyalty and trustworthiness. Loyalty and trustworthiness. And that's something the Holy Spirit works in us. And it's something that the Holy Spirit produces through us, in and through us. And false teachers are not loyal. They're not trustworthy. If there's an opportunity for them to get a better pay, or they get more power or whatever, they will just go. And they are not trustworthy. Alright, so these are the fruit of the Spirit. And I believe that the fruit that Jude is referring to is the fruit that the Spirit produces in us. You see, the false teachers do not have this kind of fruit in their lives. They are void of real God-given fruit. Now, Jude tells us, and this is very interesting, he tells us that these false teachers are twice dead. They are twice dead. What does it mean? I mean, if you're dead, you're dead. You can't be twice dead. You can't be deader than dead, or more dead than what you are. If something is dead, you're dead. I believe that Jude is referring to trees in the first place that cast their leaves in autumn, and seem dead during winter. They don't have any fruit. The fruit withers away, the leaves fall off, and then the tree seems to be dead. That's the first dead, the first kind of dead that Jude is referring to. But the second kind of dead, and he says it so beautifully in verse 12. Let me just go back to verse 12 quickly. He says, there are late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Can you see that? I believe that's the second kind of dead. The second kind of dead is when the tree is pulled up by its roots. That is the second kind of dead. You see, these false teachers do not only seem dead because they have no fruit and leaves. They are dead because they have been uprooted, and they have no way to feed the leaves and the fruit because they don't have roots that are in the ground. There's nothing in the soil that can bring up nutrition into the leaves and into the fruit of the tree. So there's nothing there. So they are twice dead. It seems like it because they're late autumn trees. They seem like it because here the tree stands without anything on it, so it seems as if it's dead. But then also it is dead because it is uprooted. And if a tree is uprooted, it's dead. It reminds me of what Jesus said in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 5 to 7. Jesus speaks about the vine, that he is the vine. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. So Jesus is the vine, believers are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You see, any tree that bears fruit and has leaves is because there's a good root system, there's a good stem, and the nourishment from the soil can be pulled up through the roots into the tree. All right, Jesus says that without Him we can do nothing, because He is that solid foundation. He is the roots. He is the stem of this tree. Yes, we are the branches, we bring forth fruit, but He's everything else. And we get our nourishment from Him. Now it says in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done to you. You see, a tree can only bear fruit and have good leaves and could be healthy if it's got a good root system, a good way of getting the nourishment up into the branches, into the leaves and into the fruit. So you must be rooted in Christ, and these false teachers are not. So they have no way of getting nutrition into their spiritual lives, because they have no spiritual lives. They are dead in their trespasses and in their sins. That's the reality of these false teachers. Beloved, I believe that we should be aware of false teachers. As I read through Jude and as I work my way through the Bible study, it's become very clear to me. These people are dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And we need to be wide awake. We need to be aware of false teachers. We need to look for the fruit that they bear. And I believe we need to expose them for who they really are. Because if there's somebody in the church that is teaching God's people, but the fruit are not the kind of fruit that is supposed to be there, the fruit of the Spirit, then they need to be exposed as false teachers. Now, not everybody is going to have a lot of fruit, that's true. But we will all show forth the fruit of the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that works it in us. So we need to be very, very sensitive towards this. Let me just take verse 12 again. These false teachers are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. They are late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Which means that they have no spiritual life whatsoever. These people are dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that we can come to You, and thank You for once again just exposing false teachers to us, so that we can know them by their fruit and know whether they are spiritually alive or not. Help us to discern, Father, and during this week, our eyes to be wide open, and to be able to see and to expose those who are not true biblical teachers, as You intended Your teachers, Your biblical teachers to be. Go before us during this rest of this week until we meet again, Father, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. It is such a privilege to bring these Bible studies to you. I hope that you are blessed as much as I am blessed. May the Lord keep you, bless you, and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His peace until we meet again in Jesus' precious name, by God's will, if it be God's will. Until next time, God willing, bye-bye.